Julie wanted me to say thank you for the beautiful flowers and the cards that many of you signed and been praying for her this week. Surgery went well, and she is still recovering. I try to explain to people she has literal stitches on her eyeball, which is makes me queasy. But so she's recovering, the swelling and the bruising is going down, and so thank you for that. I also want to say thank you to Pastor Jackie and Elizabeth for speaking and sharing last Sunday. Isn't it crazy how fast a week goes? Here we are again. And thank you for praying this week during the week of prayer for the different parts of the world that have a focus of prayer. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I look back on 2024, a lot has happened in my and our lives. Talking about the Duncans, we celebrated birthdays with the family. My daughter got engaged in the spring. Then all the wedding plans began to unfold, and we met our future in-laws from Missouri. We had an engagement party. Julie and I went to the Chicago Air and Water Show for anniversary. As an entire family, we enjoyed going to several plays. Julie and I enjoyed a Chris Tomlin concert. It was a night of praise and worship, about 10,000 of us. It was phenomenal. We also enjoyed holidays together as a family, including Christmas with our soon-to-be son-in-law, Christmas morning. But probably the biggest event of 2024 for the Duncan family is the wedding of our daughter Danielle to Ryan. What was special, not only about that day, but the Duncan family from Utah and Texas flew in. The Nichols family from Arkansas and Seattle came in. We had the Marks family, that's Ryan's last name. They came in from Missouri, and we had a beautiful and fantastic celebration. Rained like cats and dogs on Friday for the rehearsal, perfect on Saturday for the wedding, and then it rained like crazy on the 29th. So, hey, God is good. But 2024 was also a challenging year in many ways. Like you, we had our share of health issues and surgeries and setbacks and work issues and disappointing news. And I'm sure we've all experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly of 2024. And it's like looking in the rearview mirror of 2024, right? We remember when we evaluate what kind of year it was. Maybe we are in denial. We don't want to remember 2024 anymore. We'd rather forget that it happened and move on. And I get that. We're ready for 2025 to be a better year in so many ways. But you know what? I believe there is some value in looking back over this year to see how we've changed for the better or the worse, to see how faithful God was in the dark valleys of our life, to remember just what is important in life and what really is not important. And so I've titled my message this morning, Journey of Faith. Journey of Faith. The reality is we're all on a journey in life. And that journey includes faith, whether we realize it or not. You know, we all get up each day and do what's expected of us. We went to our jobs, got a paycheck, and we paid the bills. We spent time with family and church family and friends all year. We went on vacation and visited loved ones. We lost weight, we gained weight, we got healthy, we got unhealthy, we got into debt, we got out of debt, we had some fun times and we had some sad moments. All of that is a journey. And in this journey of faith, in what ways did we grow? How did we change? Where did God take you and me? So for the next few moments, I'd like to walk through 2024. In the first series of the new year of 2024, we began with God's Word is. The Word of God is directly from God. You see, how, you know, the question is, how do you view God? How do we view God? Is he distant? Is he caring? Is he too busy? Is he critical? How do we view him? Do we view him as loving, faithful, full of mercy and grace? Our answer to that question will reveal what's below the surface in our hearts. What we believe about God directly impacts how we live our daily lives. The Bible is revelation from God, of God, by God. We can live life in the dark, blindfolded because we ignore it, or we can live life in the light, alive in his word, so we can know him. Scripture is the inspired word of God, written by human authors, using their own personality, their own writing style and vocabulary, guided by the Holy Spirit. All of Scripture is inspired by God to teach us to know what is right, to teach us to know what is wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. God's Word is the source. It's the record of truth. You see, Scripture is truthful. It has authority, is effective, and will accomplish the desired effects that God wills. The ultimate goal of Scripture isn't to simply increase our knowledge, although it's good to know more and more, but it's to change our lives. We all need help from God, so his word illuminates truth to us. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, will guide us into all truth. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light, what, for our path. We can trust God and we can trust his book. God will illuminate the word so that we can understand and be changed from the inside out. And finally, God's word is a mirror. I can shine it on your eyes right now. God's word is a mirror. It tells the truth of who we are. You see, what we see or believe about ourselves, good or bad, it only matters how God sees and believes about who we are. That's what really matters. The closer we get to Jesus, we become who we're meant to be. You see, Scripture isn't just for information, but for a heart transformation. And the mirror of God's word is to show us not just who we are in him, but also who we can become in Jesus. And that Sunday, I handed out these mirrors, and I've got a few extra if you want one as a reminder. God's word is, it's a mirror. It tells us who we are. So see me afterwards. I've got a couple more. The next sermon series, we looked at I am. I am who I am is the name that God himself gave to Moses. Fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus makes 7 I am statements. The first one was this: I am the bread of life. You see, we'll never be hungry or thirsty spiritually. And the goal and the challenge is to choose more of God, the blesser, over his blessings. And guess what? You'll receive. I am the light of the world. If you follow Jesus, you won't stumble through the darkness, but have light that leads to life. Does that mean you won't stumble and fall and sin? No, but he's there with you. He's guiding you. There's a story of Jesus healing a blind man, and they question him. He goes, I don't know who this Jesus is, but all I know is I was blind, but now I see. That's all that mattered. Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. Jesus is both the gate and he's the gatekeeper. In other words, he's the only way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. Jesus said it of himself. I am the good shepherd who sacrifices his life for the sheep, which is you and I. And he goes, I know them and they know me. I am the true vine. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. God will do whatever it takes to cause us to bear fruit. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through Jesus. He was on the cross, and Jesus said, I am the way. He's about to be condemned by lies of a sham trial, and he says this, I am the truth. He's about to be placed into a tomb, and he said this, I am the life. You see the irony? Then he said, I am he. When they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, the guards fell. They were overpowered by Jesus' divine power. And you guys know this, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Jesus declared of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, you see, some thought Jesus showed up too late to help Lazarus. But God's delays don't mean that we're forgotten. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, told Jesus, if you had been there, Lazarus would be alive. You see, what we do with our if matters. The truth is we can all come to Jesus because death isn't the end for us. I am. We then looked in the series titled Extreme Makeover. God loves to do extreme makeovers in our lives. He loves us enough, and I love this about God, he loves us enough to not leave us as we are. If anyone belongs to Christ, and that anyone includes you and me, right? If we have an attitude of humility, it allows the great renovator, it allows the great rebuilder of lives to do his work in us. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation, the Bible says, a new person. You see, God's promises are for us. The Holy Spirit then guides us, helps us grow, and deepens our relationship with the Father. Maybe many of you can agree with this statement, I am not who I want to be yet, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. God's promises are for us. If we belong to Christ, we are a new creation. The old things are gone. The old us is gone. Even though at times we feel condemned by our past, and sometimes, if we're honest, we don't want to let go of the old me. We hold on. And then there are times that we can't let go of the old me because of an addiction. And for the old me to go, it requires an action of trust. If we truly want to change, we need to understand our dependency on Jesus. See, our change is more about trusting and less about trying. Trusting in Jesus. All these messages are on our website. If you want to be like, hey, I didn't hear that one, I'm going to go back and listen to it. They're all listed by date and title of the series. Then we talked about the life lessons of, and then there were some characters in the Bible that we can learn from for our life, right? God used the prophet Nathan to confront David of his sin. And the challenge and the question was, are we willing to obey God like Nathan, even when it's difficult? I'm sure that was difficult for Nathan to approach the king and say, hey, buddy, you're in the wrong. But he obeyed the Lord and he did it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Are we willing to be confronted by others? Now, I would say a little caveat there would be you need to weigh it. You need to put it on a shelf. Is their life credible? Do they love you? Right? You can't just allow anyone to speak into your life. You've got to weigh it according to this. But are we willing to allow others to speak into our life? Who speaks the truth into you and me? Who have we said, I give you permission? Show me my blind spots. I can't see them. And all the spouses said, amen, right? Are we willing to protect the next generation? We are called to pray and to lead and to mentor and to model for the next generation. Not our bad attitudes, not our preferences, not what we want to see happen, but God, what do you want to see happen in our church and our kids and our youth and our young adults? Help me to be a part of that. We talked about Nehemiah. He had a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down. Who are we fighting for? Are we praying and fighting on our knees for our marriages, for our families? Who depends on you and I for courage? Is it our kids? Our grown adult kids? Our grandkids? Whose life is influenced by ours? Seriously, whose life is influenced by our life? Decisions of my heart forge the person I become tomorrow. The choices you and I make today impact tomorrow. Who are you influencing? We talked about Nicodemus. He was a strict Pharisee, but he had some questions for Jesus. Are we willing to examine the truth for ourselves? Because you know what? Being religious isn't enough. Are we willing to defend the truth? Do we know God's word? Are we willing to believe in Jesus, the truth? You see, knowing about Jesus isn't enough. We must believe in him to be saved. Well, you might say, I'll stand before the Lord someday. I went to church. I had a Bible on my phone. Great. Good. I dressed up for trunk or treat. Thumbs up, right? But do you believe in Jesus, my son? Did you put your faith and trust in him? We talked about Nathanael. He was an active seeker in who the Messiah was. And the reality is Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. Let that sink in. You think you know you. You think you know your secrets and your habits and all. Yes, but Jesus knows you even better than you. Who are we with on this journey? Are we living life on mission? Are we just existing? Are we just surviving? The next series we tackled was God is full of surprises. God is full of surprises. We looked at the life of Saul, who was an enemy of God, who later became Paul, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament. And some believe, you know, being a Christ follower, it's like hitting the easy button.
That was easy.
You thought I got rid of this, didn't you?
That was easy. That was easy. That was easy.
I'm trying to wake some of you up.
That was easy. That was easy.
You know what? It's not easy being a follower of Jesus. God is full of surprises, and he singles us out when we hear the gospel, because the gospel first confronts us with our sin before it offers us grace. God surprises us with his grace. It's something, getting something we don't deserve, which is the righteousness of Christ. God surrounds us with his family. You see, where we belong, where we bear his name, and we bring love to the family. I hear this all the time. I really do. This church is so welcoming. This church is so friendly. Thank God for that and for you and for when you see someone new, you reach out and you introduce yourself, because God wants us all to be a part of his family. And when God surprises us, he sends us out to serve him. You see, and when we serve him, we can't shut up. We got to say something good about who he is, and we can't stay put. We've got to share. We've got to go. We've got to do. The next sermon series was what we believe. You see, it matters who we believe in and what we believe for our lives, because it dictates how we live our life. We must build our lives on the inspired foundation of God's word, not my opinion, not some video's opinion. God's word. This is it right here. Building your life on this foundation. No one else can build a foundation for you. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. You have to build it. We talked about the one true God, our creator, our redeemer, who purchased us with the blood of his of his son Jesus. If we search for God with all our hearts, God can be found. He's not trying to dodge you and play hide and seek with you. You approach him with all of your heart, he will be found. We talked about Jesus Christ and believing in the deity of Jesus. It's critical to our faith, believing that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. We sang it earlier, Jesus loves me. Jesus is with me, and Jesus saves me. We talked about the fall of mankind's sin, which brought spiritual death and separation between us and God. God's word tells us that we have sinned, that we all fall short of his mark, that we cannot save ourselves, but only Jesus can. God's word tells us that we are not condemned of our sin as we repent and ask God for his forgiveness. What we believe matters. The next series we looked at was God's tests. For us to pass the test of trust, we must remember the faithfulness of God. We must evaluate where do we put our trust. And we must confess those fears to God. Maybe this week you got no fears. Maybe some of you are facing some real fears. Trust in him. Trust in him. For us to pass the test of obedience, we must know God's word. We must choose to obey his word and then follow through on that obedience. To pass the test of dependence, right? God wants to remove the crutches from our lives when those dependencies we lean on become substitutes for him. To pass the test of love, we must make love our highest goal by showing love through our time with others and by beginning loving others today. To pass the test of waiting, that's a challenging one. We must be still and know that he is God. To pass the test of solitude, in those wilderness moments where it seems God is distant and victory is out of reach, we must do three things. We must embrace the solitude. Be honest with God. Don't pretend. Don't just say, oh, God, I'm fine. No, pour it out. Be honest with God and then praise God in the wilderness. In the times of solitude, he'll meet you there. The second to last sermon series was a dialogue with my soul. You see, the person that we listen to the most is ourselves. With our biases and our internal thoughts and self-reflections and choices and memories, right, which constantly shape how we interpret information. It's always going on there, and there's self-talk. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And we looked at the practice of filling. Not feeling, filling, which does three things, right? It empowers our hearts. God empowers us with himself. And the practice of filling, it redirects our hearts. It gets us back on track. It realigns where we need to be. The practice of filling, being present, stopping for a moment, say, God, speak to my heart. Everything we do, every response, every reaction, every decision flows from a healthy or an unhealthy heart. You see, unless our hearts are transformed, they'll never fully be reformed. The person we're becoming is determined by the repetition of small things like the practice of gratitude. You know, if you think about it, anxiety and worry and fear and injustice and greed and probably a longer list than that, right? It tries to steal our gratitude. You know it. You know it, don't you? What is it? That's annoying. One time I was preaching to some youth, packed room like this, and I made the illustration of running into the wall. I did it a couple of times, like literally running into the wall, boom, came back, finished my message, hung out with the students afterwards. And then the next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I hurt my back and didn't know it. I had to go to the chiropractor. I won't do that again. You're right. You're right. You see, the Word of God says this: don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank Him for all that He's done. It's right here. It's right here. Now, am I saying it's easy? It's not. It's hard to praise God, and it's hard to not worry about things. But He wants us to do that. When we do that, we'll experience God's peace as it guards what our hearts and our minds, the battleground of really what we're going through. Gratitude reframes our needs, becomes clearer. Not wants, needs. It invites us to surrender our needs then, right? And then leads us to God's grace, God's peace. In that series, we talked about Moses, who had an identity crisis as a poor Hebrew who was raised in Egypt as a prince and then running for his life as a shepherd for 40 years. The practice of identity is about remembering who we are, not based on what the world tells us or what society tells us or what social media tells us, but on what God says we are. It remembers we are wanted by God, that we are adopted by God. Thank the Lord. So in having a dialogue with your soul, the question I asked was, how is your heart? Really? And the last series of 2024 was Advent. Advent is the arrival of Jesus becoming a baby, born in a stable and humble beginnings, dying for our sins to bring salvation to all humanity if we put our faith and our trust in Him. We talked about hope will never disappoint us, even if we go through tribulations, leaving us discouraged with a false hope or a lost hope, but remembering that Jesus is our only eternal hope. Peace with God reconciles our relationship with Him because we are no longer enemies of God through the death of Jesus on the cross. Peace with God also restores our relationships with others, even though the hard but good, beautiful yet messy work is worth it. Peace with God finally renews the relationship with our own hearts. We talked about God's love. It's personal. We can, if we choose to accept it. And through the Holy Spirit, we can experience God's love. We can be filled to overflowing with God's love. And we are able to love others. The love of God doesn't stop with us, but it should flow out to others around us. And then lastly, we talked about joy. It's a choice. While happiness happens to us, right? Real J-O-Y comes into our lives when Jesus is our first priority. You put Him there, right? Doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect and amazing, and you're going to win the lottery, and you're going to be rich, and it's not going to talk about that. Jesus is first. He's leading you. Real joy focuses on others and not only on ourselves. J-O, Jesus, others. And real joy fills you up as we refresh others. We are refreshed. When you lift others, right, you are encouraged. Joy returns. Joy, Jesus, others, you. So this journey of faith, as we look back in the rearview mirror of 2024, Peace Chapel, you and I, His church, you know what? We've got some things to look back and say, wow, that was awesome. We became a general counsel status sovereign church in 2024, meaning we're under the Assemblies of God nationwide umbrella, as well as the Illinois district here, but we have our own constitution and bylaws. We are our own entity. You know what? We also celebrated Peace Chapel's 75th anniversary. What a wonderful day, remembering the past and what God has faithfully done at Peace Chapel. We believe that the best days are ahead of us, though. I believe that. I know that's a catchphrase, but I believe that. I want to go on further. In 2024, we had two people that we know of gave their heart to Jesus. We had seven people commit to serving the Lord by being baptized. We also had 5 people become members of Peace Chapel and call this their church home. A quick look at the calendar. The ladies' Valentine brunch was a fun event with many ladies coming that morning, and they also participated in the Secret Sister and committing to pray and to bless a sister in the Lord for the year. Peace Chapel blessed a large number of families in the Morris community by hosting East Horrific Egg Hunt. Incidentally, they're going to start building where that land is. And so, you know what? We've got permission to use this ball field right here. It's got a big fence. It's got the stadium. Praise the Lord. It's going to be awesome. We had our very own Illinois Youth Missionaries, Youth Alive Missionaries, Billy and Katie Willis, to speak, as well as Brian White, who spoke at the missions potluck, some of you people that were there. We honored our junior high and high school students graduating. We had a fun time at the different potlucks and fundraisers. You guys like to eat. So does this guy, right? Another great year with our teens going to Breakaway Youth Camp. Phenomenal, phenomenal what God does at camp. We had a fun time at the Joliet Slammers baseball game. We had more involvement and more participation as we blessed, again, the Morris community with the trunk or treat. And the dentists love us. The ladies' Friendsgiving brunch was also a lot of fun and good food. I happened to do security, and as well as revealing your secret sister. Momentum Youth Convention for our youth was, again, another event that shaped their life. And for Advent this year, just a couple of weeks ago, we, Peace Chapel, gave over $2,000 plus all the groceries and supplies that were stacked over here. 3 Peace Chapel families were blessed by our giving. We also gave extra to We Care of Grundy County. Hands of Dignity and Hope was blessed by all that you brought. The food, the shampoo, the paper towels, all of that was under the Christmas tree, plus we gave them a monetary gift to help them help others in need in our community in a real, tangible way. You were a part of that. You are doing the work of God through your generosity. 2024, you know, I keep all the prayer cards that are turned in. That's a stack of all the weeks and Sundays, and people have touched these and passed them and prayed over these for your needs. Don't take that lightly. You are inviting others to come alongside you and agree with you for your need. A lot of these are for health issues or for family members that have walked away, for job issues, unspoken. These are real, and these went up to the Father. You know what? He still hears them. So that's why we encourage every week. I know it's like the same little mantra, but we believe in prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. So we encourage you to continue to do that. If it's not fixed, God hasn't finished. Keep believing, keep believing. Journey of faith. Journey of faith. Not a marathon, not a sprint. It's a journey, right? A journey. And as your pastor, as we close, as your pastor, as your shepherd, as I am under the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, my desire is that we grow more and more like Jesus. So I'm going to ask some questions. How have we grown more loving in our lives? How have we grown more humble? Are we spending time with Him every day? Are we in the Word? Not just on Sundays when you hear it preach, or not just in small group, but are we reading and studying and praying in communion with God Himself? Are we serving others here at Peace Chapel as well as those outside these walls? Are we obedient in our giving of His tithes? Friends, it all belongs to Him. Are we giving back what belongs to Him in tithes? Are we giving our offerings? Are we giving to missions? Maybe the question is, are we in a rut spiritually? Are we stuck in unhealthy patterns? Have we gotten out of the habit of being with Jesus? You see, it's good to look back in the rearview mirror and see what God has done in us and in Peace Chapel as a church. And the goal of today is that we can see in if and how we've grown in our walk with the Lord. Are we stronger? Have we moved down the field? Are we more loving? I'm convinced, I'm not very old, but I'm convinced that the older we become in Christ, the more loving we should be, the softer we should be. We begin to see other people. We look past their appearance. We look past what they're going through when we see them that they need Jesus. Together, church family, let's commit and let's renew our hearts and minds to grow even closer to Jesus in 25. More alive in 25. Not more dead, more alive. What is or what's God been saying to you this week? Can you answer that question? What has God been talking to you about that you need to work on? I know he has for me. What areas of your life do you need to repent? Do you need to grow? Yeah. Just where are you going on your journey of faith? Let's believe, as the Apostle Paul did, when he said in Philippians 1, verse 6, "And I am certain that God, I'm certain that God who began the good work within you," right, "will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." Let's pray.